Hello everyone. I have a really great pleasure to invite Matt Topol to talk about Arrow. Matt is my friend. We meet quite often at Apache Software Foundation conferences and meetups, and we have the opportunity now for Matt to talk about Arrow in the context of AI. So, picture done. Yep. It's all yours.
Thank you very much. Hey everybody. So, as Yarek said, I'm Matt Topol, PMC member on Apache Arrow and author of the book In-Memory Analytics with Apache Arrow. So, small confession here. AI and ML is not my expertise, and I hope that doesn't bring out the pitchforks and torches on me. But my expertise is more in the data analytics pipeline area. So I've talked with a lot of people and a lot of AI and ML engineers and people focused on it, and I've been told that my little diagram here is surprisingly accurate from a lot of people. So the point here is that when you think about it, a lot of AI and ML can be thought of as data pipelines. And you have all these libraries and tools and utilities that exist in the ecosystem. You've got Onyx, JAR, JAX, PKIs, GGUFs for formats. You've got TensorFlow, PyTorch, Llama, Rapids, JAX. You have all of these things. And then you have all the data sources you're pulling the data from. You have data, your various data frames, libraries, your feature stores, Parquet files. It's an enormous ecosystem that keeps growing. And of course, there's all these different pros and cons to the various libraries. So when you're looking and building out all these machine learning models and inference pipelines and just building out everything out, potentially controversial, it's a specialized version of a data pipeline. And that's where I came at this, and I thought about it a lot. And when you think about it in those terms, in terms of AI and machine learning models as a specialized version of data pipelines, you come up with interesting ideas. Because now I'm aware that this doesn't represent the entire area of models, but a lot of models are basically, you have a pre-processing step of your inputs, and then you send it through various layers that do transformations, that do interesting computations. Eventually you get your output of a prediction, maybe with your probabilities and so on. And then you do a little bit of post-processing and send it out somewhere else. And in many cases, you're passing tensors between those layers and across, you're pre-processing into the layers from layer to layer all the way through to your prediction, possibly even all the way to your post-processing output. And then at that point, you convert the result tensors into whatever you want to actually output to your user, to your inference, to convert it back to reasonable text, so on and so forth. And of course, with this entire giant ecosystem of tools and libraries, everyone wonders, okay, which one should I use? Because it's expensive to tie them together. But there's all pros and cons. All of them have different benefits. They have different drawbacks. They have different functionality, different algorithms that the library supports, that the framework has, different performance characteristics, and the cost of linking these things together to kind of mix and match what you need can often be very high. They may not have the same layout in memory, so you have to copy and convert from one format to another to pass it between the libraries. Or one library may only work on CPUs and the other may support GPUs. Or even just, the library doesn't expose a way of getting the data out while keeping it on the device, possibly, because of streams and events and other very low-level manipulations. And then you have a lot of other new tools and utilities that are coming up. You've got the building of LanceDB for a vectorization database and a new format. You've got Nimble as another option for improving upon like the Parquet formats and optimizing towards ML workflows and point lookups and random lookups. And a lot of these systems are consolidating around utilizing the Apache Arrow format internally for how they represent their data in memory and on the devices. Now, this is the first point where I'm mentioning Apache Arrow. So the point I'm mentioning here is interoperability, is being able to get data between all these tools, between all these libraries, without a high cost. You know, you want to be able to mix and match everything without having the cost, having this like expensive slowdown. Currently, when you're passing your data between TensorFlow and PyTorch, or from Hugging Face to TensorFlow or everywhere else, you're going to use NumPy, you're going to use Pandas, do some data frame manipulation, bring it back for your pre-processing maybe, CuPy, DLPack is often a big one, XGBoost is another one, like where you're finding ways of passing your data in reasonable formats between systems, between libraries. You know, and then you have these intermediate scenarios where you have your data source of CSV files in Parquet or just raw JSON data because you hate yourself. You know, so the result is that there's a ton of unnecessary copying that happens because the underlying tools and libraries can't operate on the data as it is where you're starting from, and you need to copy it and transform it to use it. So, before I continue going forward, which obviously you can see where my answer is going to be going, let me actually explain what Apache Arrow is in case you're not aware of it, you may not be familiar with it. So Arrow is an in-memory, column-oriented data format. At its core, it's a spec. It's a spec that's been implemented in a whole mess of languages. You know, you've got C++, Go, Rust, Python. Well, Python binds to the C++ libraries. You've got Julia, MATLAB. You've got Java. Like, it's implemented in a ton of languages. And the point here is that by consolidating around a column-oriented in-memory format, you eliminate a lot of the cost of serialization and deserialization, passing it between libraries, passing it between nodes, between systems, transport over the wire, and so on. You know, transporting the data over the wire is identical to the bytes in memory, which means there's no serialized or deserialized step whenever you cross systems, or even crossing process boundaries, or even just runtime library boundaries within the same process, which I'll get to in a moment. And because it's column-oriented, it's highly efficient and friendly for vectorization and SIMD. And the chances are, you're probably interacting with Arrow or utilizing it under the hood somewhere and don't even realize it because it's already everywhere. If you ever use libqtf, NVIDIA Rapids, and that whole ecosystem, you know, QML, QSpatial, all that entire ecosystem, NVIDIA Rapids and all of the related system, QDF, is using Apache Arrow data format just on the GPU. It's the same Apache Arrow data format. It's laid out. The raw bytes in GPU memory are identical to the way it would be laid out in CPU memory, but because of the efficiency of a column-oriented data format and the benefits of passing it around without the cost of serialize and deserialize, it becomes super efficient, and NVIDIA adopted that for that entire ecosystem. If you're using Polars, the Polars data frame libraries in Pandas, or Rust, the entire underlying backing memory representation for Polars is Apache Arrow. It's just Arrow, which means that you can go from libraries, for example, to Pandas, to Polars, and so on, zero copy, because they both have that format. Pandas has a PyArrow backend. You know, earlier on, we had a talk from a developer at Hugging Face. If you go under the hood, Hugging Face's data sets library, you load the data set, downloads a bunch of Parquet files, and then Hugging Face has a caching system locally so that you can operate on larger than memory data without blowing out your RAM. How does it do that? It stores it as a series of Apache Arrow files in your cache and then memory maps them so that it can load only the bits it needs into memory as it reads it, but you can interact with your large data set that's larger than memory without requiring a large amount of RAM. And it's because of the properties of Apache Arrow that allow you to write out an Arrow IPC file and just memory map it to improve your data and only actually have to allocate memory for the bits that you use. And then we go to the compute side of things, the actual computational things. You know, DuckDB's internal memory representation is about 95% identical to Arrow, which means that DuckDB implements the interfaces so you can get zero copy cost results from DuckDB in the Arrow format. Snowflake has an Arrow interface for getting API data. BigQuery has an Arrow output implementation. If you're using Apache Data Fusion started as a sub-project of the Apache Arrow project, a top-level project of its own, is entirely built under the hood as Apache Arrow for its memory representation. And as a result, all of these systems support Arrow in and Arrow out for interoperability. Any tool that can output Arrow can be used to then send it to one of these systems as ingestion, and any tool that can receive Arrow data can zero copy super efficiently get data from those systems into it. Now the point, when I'm talking about all the zero copy and interoperability and manipulations, is that it's often very hidden where these copies are. Okay? When you're dealing with, I'm going to bring up the Hugging Face datasets library again. You can see here that when you load the dataset, the underlying .data for the dataset is a PyArrow schema, and the underlying actual data columns are PyArrow trunked arrays. But when you actually index into the dataset top part to retrieve your column, it converts it to a Python list. That's a copy. Because it has to convert, it has to be in the Python memory, not raw underlying series C++ memory. There's a copy there. You may not realize it. And it's just very simple, hidden situations where you don't realize that copies are happening simply because the libraries you're interacting with are not necessarily already utilizing Arrow. So with everything I'm talking about, with everything I brought out, the meat of this is to talk about what exactly am I proposing? Why should all of you care what I have to say here? Well, you have the multiverse of Arrow systems and universes and libraries. You've got, the IPC format for interoperability between libraries and systems. You've got a C interface, which is a stable ABI, to pass the data across runtimes in the process without having to copy anything. It just passes pointers to the buffers. And you've got this implemented in every language under the sun most languages have a implementation of the Arrow spec. Not only that, but Arrow also specifies interfaces and protocols for data transport and database connections with ADBC instead of ODBC to get a column-oriented communication of data. So with all of this connectivity and all of this interoperability, how can we benefit from this? How can the AI and ML pipelines and data tools and libraries really utilize this to their fullest? And by doing so, the result of doing that is going to be an increase in the ability to mix and match libraries for getting exactly the right tool for whatever operations, computations, calculations you need in your model. Now, when you actually think about leveraging that zero copy, you can see the performance benefits. There was a white paper published last year by members of one of the startups I mentioned earlier, Bauplan, which develops a Python sidecar runtime, highly utilized for AI and ML run AI and ML workflows. And they were testing as one of the pieces of the white paper they published, they were testing reading data frames on a C5 9X large AWS machine, and where depending on where the source of the raw data was coming from. Now the interesting part of this was, because if you're building a distributed system, how do you get data from node to node, from piece to piece? And if you're just so a common way of doing that is you write the resulting intermediate data to a Parquet file in S3. Another way of doing it commonly is writing a Parquet file onto a shared SSD because you want to bypass the network cost of going to S3. And you can see those comparisons here of doing it with 10 million or 50 million rows of 6 gig or 30 gigs of data. If you utilize one of the frameworks that the Arrow project specifies, Arrow Flight, which is a gRPC-based protocol for building a framework on top of system communication built around streams of Arrow record batches. And you can see right here, you still have that network overhead, and also Arrow isn't compressed like Parquet, so that may not be the best. But that Arrow IPC, if you write the Arrow data to shared memory and then just memory map it into your system, which is, like I said, exactly how Hugging Face's caching works, look at the difference in the performance. Right there you can see where this removing of unnecessary copies results in enormous potential for performance gains, which therefore leads to enormous potential for expanding model computation and inputting more operations without increasing the massive amount of cost. Now, one thing you might wonder about, if I keep talking about Arrow, I keep talking about how we can use light, one thing you might wonder about is, okay, can it support everything I need to represent? And the answer is most likely yes. You have all of your standard primitive types, floats, float 32, float 64, integers of all signed and bit width and so on, decimals, strings, and so on. But you also have complex types, maps, structs, lists, all efficiently represented in column-oriented organized memory. Now, the Arrow spec also includes a piece for extension types. And an extension type is just a already existing Arrow primitive type, and then layering some metadata on top of it so that an individual library or individual runtime or instance can register a custom class to add semantic utilities to that data. So that, for example, you could register a JSON type that's just a string column, but when you read in the data, it will wrap it in this custom class that will give you extra semantics and extra semantic functions on that string column because it's supposed to be JSON. Doesn't change the underlying storage, and also it means that the data can flow through other systems that support Arrow that don't have to care about the extension type because it's just and Arrow data with some metadata keys. And so the community got together, especially with this AI and ML work, and put together some canonical extension types specifically to help out this interoperability with ML workflows, and thus created a fixed shape and variable shape tensor types of extension types for Arrow, so that you can represent tensors of any amount of dimensions, permutations, and so on, with the Arrow format in a standardized way to make it very easy to work around. How does it work? Well, I can give credit to a couple of my colleagues who recently came in and sat down after their Pi Arrow talk, Rock and Alenka, that